Good morning. Live from the Ron Scott Communication Center, this is From the Stand. And as Mike said, I'm Steve Buss, your host. This morning, we welcome back author and WASP supporter Aaron Miller, visit with Jordan Drischler, who flies the Commemorative Air Force's WASP T-6 Nella, and visit with Ron Kaplan from the Ohio Air and Space Hall of Fame and Museum. But first, David Neese is joining us today, and David is one of the people who's representing one of EAA's signature events this year, and that is flying in the public good. David, good to have you here.
Pleasure to be here. Yes, appreciate you having us.
Great. And you also recently were awarded an award from the National Aeronautics Association.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So the awards for public benefit flying, I don't really know which exact category they put it in, to be totally honest. I was told it was changed from what I was originally nominated in, so maybe you know more than I do in that case. But in any case, public benefit flying is basically utilizing your aircraft to benefit people in the for the public good. So in other words, you know, a lot of people will go fly cancer patients, they'll fly dog rescue missions, you know, things of that nature.
Sure. And where do you specialize?
So we do primarily cancer patients. We also have a special needs program that we base in South Florida out of the Opa-locka Airport in Miami. And we fly special needs children and their families on a short local flight. It's very similar to Challenger. Challenger does something very similar to that. Ours is a little more targeted towards cancer patients, but it's open to everybody.
Excellent. What's the name of the organization?
It's called Vital Flight.
Okay. Well, good. How long has Vital Flight been around?
So we're started in 2017. Is that right? Maybe actually earlier than that. But in any case, we started basically doing the typical medical mission, cancer patients and whatnot. And the founders really wanted to target people that were involved in, you know, the veterans and things of that nature and the various conflicts around the world.
Sure.
And so we did a lot of blind veteran work with the Palm Beach VA hospital. And so they're bringing folks in that have lost their sight for whatever reason. And they're putting them through a program where they learn to live with no sight. And so our pilots were volunteers to go pick them up and bring them into that facility. And it was quite an amazing experience. I was fortunate enough to do several of them myself, and among other things, of course. And it was neat to bring them in if you got to take the same one out, because you could see that transition over a period of, say, 90 days. And it's everything from walking across the street. Everything we would take for granted is someone that has sight. They teach them how to do it, up to and including running power tools, which I could only imagine trying to do that without being able to see it.
So, wow. Okay.
It's a pretty neat program.
Excellent. And when you're taking them for their flight, how do you – I mean, they did have sight before, so they probably had some inkling or some imagination of what flight would be like if they'd never flown before. But how do you brief them when they're none – when you don't have the visual cues that you would have?
You learn to explain things that are happening that you normally wouldn't. And it's really just telling them, okay, we're about to turn onto the runway, we're about to take off. Things you might normally think to tell them, but you've got to take a lot more care, especially when you're doing like a safety brief. If something happens, it's going to be on your left or your right, and it's about 2 feet. And we would always take their hand and put it on like an emergency door handle or something like that before the flight. So a lot of it is just explaining what's going on. There were a few interesting moments where we did go-arounds or something like that that were required along the way, and we had to remember, hey, you got to tell them, because you could hear the breathing pick up in the headset in the back seat as somebody started to get a little anxious. And don't worry, it's totally normal. Everything be fine, you know.
Just part of the process.
Yes.
How many pilots are involved with Vital Flight?
So we've got on an everyday basis, out flying missions, probably I'd say about 110, 115, something like that. And then when we do our programs for special needs kids, those are obviously one day events. It swells to about 250, supported by a group of so you end up with 25 to 30 pilots at any given time, supported by a group of about 100 volunteers on the ground.
Great. With Vital Flight, you said it was based in Florida, but do you reach out beyond the Southeast?
I'm actually fortunate enough to be involved with the Air Care Alliance. And so the Air Care Alliance is sort of, think of it as an umbrella organization that represents all of those types of organizations. Ours at Vital Flight, Angel Flight, you name it, Pilots and Paws, they're all generally under that umbrella. And so what we try to do is promote public benefit flying, explain to people why it would be good to, use your airplane to help someone else, explain to them what the benefits would be, and then, quite frankly, go to Congress and lobby on their behalf for things like pilot fuel reimbursement and whatnot. That's, as flying gets more and more expensive, we're trying to figure out how can we take some of that burden off of the pilot, and working with Congress to get some sort of legislation, which is involved in the current reauthorization bill, if I'm not mistaken, to help alleviate some of those expenses.
We're talking to David Neese, who's with Vital Flight and also a National Aeronautics Association Award winner for this year. Again, congratulations.
Thank you.
You mentioned, you know, getting pilots involved in some of the expenses and things. How do you recruit pilots?
So, believe it or not, it's more grassroots than anything else. It's go out to, you know, your local hangar flying, if you will, or as some people would call it, hangar lying. I'm sure we're all guilty of that at some point. And
Or we could just sit here and watch the airplane.
Stop
fly,
and watch
right?
the show, right? Yeah, exactly. So as long as they're going to do it, we'll stop there and watch all day. But
for those wondering, that was a T-38, but
yes.
We're okay.
And so it really is a grassroots thing. A lot of it can be some direct mail too. Surprisingly, is effective, but because it at least gets in front of them at home. But a lot of it's going out to a local event. I mean, you'd be amazed how many people here probably don't know about public benefit flying. And
exactly,
so that's part of what they're doing on the plaza tomorrow, is trying to educate folks and say, hey, here's all the various organizations. And I bet there's 80 or 90 organizations around the country somebody could get involved with if they wanted to do that. So
the more I read up about the Air Care Alliance and all the groups that are involved, it's amazing. It's everything
it
from,
is.
Like you said, you know, cancer patients or people who need transportation for health reasons, whatever, inspiring flights like Challenge
yes.
Air, but also, and everybody knows the pilots in PAWS and,
yes.
and the, you know, the airlifts out of hurricane areas.
There's turtles fly too.
Yeah.
There's a new group called STEM Flights, and so they do a lot of STEM type activities with high school students. So there's quite a few that are involved, and all varying, depending on whatever your personal interest right. might be, there's a place for you to be involved in public benefit flying for that.
And conservation flying as well.
Yes.
It's just, that's another whole aspect of it that
yes.
never even crossed my mind, but it's, when you think about it and you see it on the piece of paper, you're like, of course, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in aviation?
So I actually, my first flight was when I was in middle school, and when the airplane took off, I was like, I've got to figure out how to do this. And so it got to the point where, for the students that are listening, I don't necessarily advocate you do this, but I was skipping school in high school to go take flying license. And so I was fortunate that most of my teachers sort of understood that and really, really supported going further than you could have originally, perhaps, at least in high school, because back then you didn't think, hey, let's go get in an airplane, you know, in the middle of the day. But so I did that, and here I am 20-something years later and still going. I bought a 210 about when I was 22 years old. I bought a 210, and so I've been flying a 210 ever since, and had some great experiences.
And you didn't fly the airplane here.
Nope.
Came the unconventional way, and that's in the big silver tube.
Unfortunately, yes. It was faster, but the weather around here the last few days has been a little – and that, and from where I live in North Alabama, it's a little bit of a hike, and the weather's always a challenge between here and there, and something the size of mine where I can't get up in the flight levels. So,
yeah. And you arrived yesterday?
Yes, okay. Late yesterday, just in time to watch the lightning storm over the airport late last night.
We had that brought in just for you.
Yeah, I'm glad.
And you've been
as long as it stays away today, we'll be good. I think that's
will.
What everybody's hoping for.
That's right. You've been to AirVenture before.
I have.
And you were in capacity as helping some vendors set up.
Yes. Yep. I've lost count of how many times I've been here. I started probably 15, 20 years ago, and it was hit and miss. And then about 5 years ago, I was helping a friend of mine do his booth setup, and they've finally gotten their stuff going. So now I'm back here as a spectator and not an employee, if you want to call it that. So this is exciting because it's the first year I've been back not in that position. So I get to wander around and spend a little more time just poking my head probably where I don't belong.
That's okay. Anything in particular you're looking forward to seeing?
The Connie is really the one over here. That's that for me, that's the highlight. But I mean, a lot of this stuff, the interesting paint schemes, I mean, I know lots of people here. Of course, it's the place the aviation world comes to every year. So I run into a lot of colleagues and friends that I've made over the years. So it's a lot of fun.
Good. About how many hours of flight time do you have?
I'm approaching 2,800,
okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So every time I say that, an airline recruiter walks up to me, hey, do you want a job? You know, that's the time to do it, I suppose. So you never know what the future holds.
There you go. Airlines, 2,800 flight hours right here.
That's right.
Before we wrap up this morning, if you had words of encouragement for the pilots who are here today who are not involved in public benefit flying, what would you say to encourage them to think about it?
I would tell them that it'll be one of the most rewarding flight experiences they'll ever have. I got a card probably 5 years after I had flown a lady, and unfortunately she lost her life to cancer, but when I was flying her, she had a one-year-old. And then obviously as the time progressed, the child got older, and I got a card from them about 5 years in that said, you know, thank you for giving my four-year-old a chance to know mommy. And when you get something like that, it really makes you take a moment for pause, because when we get in our airplane and go fly for a 100-hour hamburger, that's one thing, it's fun for us, but when you can truly change a life like that, and in some cases there are cancer patients that can't get to their treatment or something like any number of things, those are truly life-altering causes. And this is would be a great way to utilize your airplane to help someone else. And you still get to fly. So, I mean, it gives a meaning to taking that flight, right?
Excellent. So. Air Care Alliance is the place to go on the web to find out more information.
It is, absolutely.
About all the different organizations and how to get involved.
Absolutely.
All right, Air Care Alliance, go check it out. David, great to have you here. Enjoy the show now that you're here.
Yes, thank you.
The Constellation's just right around the corner.
Yes, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
This is From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss, and you're listening to EIA Radio.